Welcome to the Overdrive Outdoors Podcast,
your source for everything outdoors.
Let's kick it into overdrive.
Overdrive Outdoors Podcast, brought to you by Predator Hunter Outdoors. Whether you are new to predator hunting or looking to upgrade your equipment, Predator Hunter Outdoors will have you hunting after the sun goes down. Carrying a full line of lights, night vision, and thermal optics, along with tripods, calls, mounting systems, and more, check them out at www.predatorhunteroutdoors.com or on Facebook at Predator Hunter Outdoors. Use promo code OVERDRIVE2021 for 20% off your order. Want to lengthen your time in the field and shorten your scouting time? Not only does the HuntWise app show you property boundaries, landowners' names, and in some cases even their phone number, but using the app will show you the wind direction on the map of the place you want to hunt. And the HuntCast feature shows peak movement times for various species, including predators. Get the HuntWise app at www.huntwise.com, the Google Play Store, or the Apple App Store. For only $59.99 a year for Pro or $119.99 a year for Elite. Use promo code OVERDRIVE20 for 20% off an annual membership.
Good evening, everybody. Thanks for joining us. This is Kevin Rott, and tonight we have special guest Heath Baker with us. How you doing, Heath?
I'm good, man. I'm good.
Now, you are in Missouri, right?
Yeah, I'm in southwest Missouri, Nevada.
Okay. You guys are getting some pretty good wind and stuff down there. Is it rain too or just wind?
Right now it's just wind, but like 50 miles, they're calling for 80 mile an hour wind.
What temperature you got down there right now?
It's warm today. It was like 70 degrees, and then tomorrow it's going to be high at 50.
Okay. Yeah, we're similar up here. We got about 55 to 60 today, and tomorrow afternoon it's supposed to drop back down to the 30s.
Yep, that's more like it. It's coyote hunting weather right there.
Right. Yeah, we had some snow on the ground for about a week, and then this warm spell came and took it all away. I was kind of looking forward to it for tracking snow and everything else, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So what I'd like to start with tonight is talk a little bit about you. I mean, you have a lot of followers on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube. You do a lot of the live feeds, which people love. I mean, I watch them all the time, too. But I don't know how many people know a little bit more about your history. So when did you actually start getting into hunting? Is it something you've always done?
My childhood best friend, Nate Oettinger, his dad actually got me into hunting, and I started out quail hunting. He had Brittany's. And one day when we were quail hunting, we were driving around, we saw a coyote out in the field. And he's like, we're going to go try to call this coyote in. And he had old H&R single shot 25-06. So we go around to the set, you know, hedgerow. And long story short, he calls this coyote in and shoots it. And I thought it was the coolest thing I've ever seen.
Really?
And we ended up going on a couple more stands. And, you know, I was just sitting observing. And he called five coyotes in one stand and shot two with that single shot. And, he ended up giving me that hand call because I told him, I said, man, this is what I want to do. I want to do this for a living someday. And, you know, kind of laughed at me, but I practiced with that hand call every day. And at that time, I didn't even have a rifle. But ended up getting a 17 HMR. My grandpa helped me buy it. And, I went out. And my grandpa just dropped me off and let me go try to call coyotes and pick me up. And I called quite a few in with just that one hand call. And, but I missed probably my first 20 because I, you know, it was like buck fever times 10.
Right. What year was that that you got the 17 HMR?
I was 13, 14.
Okay.
To turn 34 tomorrow, but
okay.
It was a long time ago, but long story short, I ended up, I wanted to learn, you know, I want to learn more. I want to become a better shot. And then ended up getting Randy Anderson's Mastering the Arts. And that's where in his, his little howler set, Open Read. And that's where I really started learning vocals And I drove my mom crazy because I sit in my room and just practice howling, like literally every day. Right. And just, I don't know, I went from there. And my buddy Nate, whose dad got me into it, we started, you know, by the time we turned 16, we were just ready to go coyote hunt. And I'd upgraded to a 223, and I used to make shooting sticks out of dowel rod. I'd put a screw, you know, a wing nut, and a piece of string, that way they wouldn't fly apart completely. But I shot. I remember my first coyote, I hand called in with a Primo's catnip and shot it. And it was the just coolest, you know, thing that ever happened in my life. But I thought I had it all figured out. But and that kind of progressed. And long story short, I always knew I wanted to hunt coyotes for a living, just hadn't figured out how to do it yet, you know. And everybody's always like, oh, there's no money in that. You're going to, you know, they're talking about selling fur. Well, in my mind, I don't want to sell fur. I want to do what Randy Anderson's doing, you know. Yeah, right. I want to make videos and cool stuff like that and hunting with all kinds of people and go all over the country. But I ended up getting a degree in social work and became a clinical therapist and worked with kids at Heartland Hospital here in Nevada, Behavioral Health Hospital, for 7 years. During that time, I ended up with Steve Kreiner with Dog Soldier TV. He messaged me, and he lived in Bolivar at the time, and we became really good friends, and I filmed for him some and hunted with him quite a bit. Then I started filming myself. I got a camera and all that, and he had some of my footage put on the show, and I just kind of progressed from there and ended up going on my own and started that Alpha Dog Down YouTube channel. And then Predator Tactics, who I'm with now, messaged me and wanted me to be on their staff. And they sold lights at the time. And you can't night hunt in Missouri then. But I would go to Colorado and use lights and all that. And that progressed to day hunting stuff. And came out with day hunting stuff, like a tripod that I use. My gun's hooked on now. And hand call. Yeah, I did sales for them. And then I ended up just doing marketing. And now the live feed thing was kind of my idea to do something different, you know.
Right.
And it was pretty ballsy, but I think I've pulled it off pretty good. It
seems to be working good. I mean, you have a nice mixture. Go ahead.
Oh, I was gonna say, since I started doing live feeds, I've killed over 450 coyotes live.
That's
which is pretty crazy.
The one thing I like about your live feeds is that, I mean, you talk a lot through it and kind of explain things, how it's going, you know, why you do what you do and everything else. And I think that helps a lot of people that might be newer to it or don't understand. I think that's one of the big draws to it. Plus just the action. I mean, getting to see the coyotes.
Yeah. You never know what's going to happen, man. Right. It's live, you know, right. And it's like, and a lot of guys, you know, are like, oh, well, whenever I talk to my boss, I'm like, I have this idea that will give our products credibility that can't be taken away. He's like, what? I said, I'm going to go live. He said, you're crazy. I said, just let me try this. And he's like, I'll give you a month. And if it don't work out, you know, well, it worked out pretty good. And I'm 80% kill ratio. I kill on 8 out of 10 stands.
Nice. So that's definitely a lot higher ratio than we have up here. You know, we've got, you know, I remember when I first started coyote hunting up here, I think they always told us the average was one coyote for about every 20 stands. And, you know, we got to where we're doing pretty good, but I'd say we're a lot better than that now. I'd say probably 50%, give or take, maybe a little bit
right better
here and there. But I don't think we have quite the population. Plus we don't have, you know, I mean, we have a lot of woods and thick cover up here, a lot of pressure from deer hunters, everything else.
Right.
But I mean, we still have guys that do really good up here. And we have guys that struggle just like anywhere.
Well, to kill a lot of coyotes, you got to have a lot of ground. You do. And
absolutely.
I live, you know, I hunt mainly in Kansas. I'm right on the Kansas-Missouri line. And I put a lot of work in to knock on a lot of doors, and I got probably 80,000 acres I picked up.
Nice.
And when you kill 600 and some coyotes a year, you got to have a lot of ground.
Right. Yep. Now you do other hunting still other than just coyotes or predators?
Yeah, I deer hunt. I used to be a hardcore bow hunter.
You guys got some nice deer down there too.
Yeah, I've shot some pretty good deer. I just, it takes a lot of work, you know, and then after you shoot it, it's even more work. And,
right.
But I don't know. I just haven't been into, you know, coyote hunting is my thing. I like to turkey hunt because you can call them. It's kind of like coyote hunting. It's action packed, but I'm a coyote hunting junkie, man, on another level.
Now, do you guys, what breed of turkeys or what species of turkeys do you have down there? Is it just a...
What do we have? Easterns or something?
You don't have any of the
weird ones,
like the Osceolas or anything like
that? No, we got nothing like that.
Turkeys.
I think regular old turkeys. I don't know.
You know, I think turkeys are probably my second favorite because, again, like you said, you're calling them in. You know, yeah. And I love that aspect of it. Now I've seen you guys call in obviously a ton of coyotes. I've seen you call in some darn nice cats. I don't recall ever seeing fox. You guys have fox down there?
Nah, I mean, man, you would think I have never called in a red fox. That, I mean, if I hunted in town, I'd call red foxes. There's freaking red foxes everywhere in town.
They do have,
but they, I don't know. Now out in like Colorado in the rock country, we killed like 30 some gray foxes in one day. Mm-hmm. They're like rats out there, but now there's just not a lot of foxes in the wild around here.
Yeah.
They're smart. They go to town where the coyotes aren't.
Right. We hunted out in Wyoming with Buck Wells about 3 years ago. And we seen swift fox. And like you said, they're right on the edge of town. When we were out in
little bitty things.
Yeah, little bitty things. I'd never seen them before. We seen them at night right on the edge of town.
Yeah, they like to hang around the prairie dog towns.
I would have liked to have seen it in the daylight so I could have had a better look, but that's the first time I've ever seen them. Around here, we have reds and grays, bobcat and coyote, and bears. Yep. And if you go a little further north, we got wolves. Have you ever wolf hunted?
No, but I am going on a wolf hunt with Burris in February.
Oh, nice.
Where and it's going to be a thermal. It's going to be a thermal wolf hunt.
Very cool. You going to Canada?
I think we're going to Montana.
Oh, Montana. Nice. We had bought tags when we were out there for wolf. We got up there. Well, the season when we were out there to go up wolf hunting, it just happened to be the opening day of elk season too. So we got up there and there was people everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
We found one nice spot that looked good. We had found a sign. We set up to call it. And we're like 5 minutes into the call set. And some guy drove up to us on a razor and like, hey, what are you guys doing?
And man, that's half the reason I hate deer season now.
Right.
Because, well, if you think about it, like, that's kind of the toughest time to call coyotes because, you know, people are in checking trail cams, hanging deer stands, and you know, and then a lot of the farmers that I hunt on lease the ground out and I can't go on it during deer season.
Yeah.
And, you know, everybody and their brothers driving around, they'll shoot a coyote out the window. They'll shoot at them deer hunting. They're just a lot more pressure during that time. So you really got to be strategic on where you're hunting because you could be calling a field that you got permission on, but the neighbor guy's sitting over there and his wind's blowing through your set. You know what I mean? Yeah. So
not only
I'm
that,
glad deer season's over.
Like around here, same as you, I lose a lot of properties because they're deer hunting, but also, I mean, you got wounded deer, you got gun piles, you got everything else. They ain't starving.
Yeah, the rabbit, I mean, rabbit, you don't really, I kill 85% of my coyotes on vocals.
Right.
Which not a lot of people use vocals to really understand how to. And to be honest with you, that's the key to killing a lot of coyotes, is understanding that, you know, like, during certain times of the year, the coyotes are very territorial. And if you howl, they're going to investigate,
right.
You know?
So,
I can get way, way into the whole vocal situation.
Right. So going back to that first time you went out and killed the coyote when you were bird hunting with your friend, do you remember what hand call that was?
Yeah. My buddy's dad was blowing an old Searcy.
Oh, okay.
Little green Searcy, close read.
Still have it?
Yeah, no, I did. My house burnt down 8 years ago, and I don't have it anymore. But then I killed a lot of coyotes off of the old Primos, Randy Anderson catnip, and then his little green open read.
Mm-hmm.
I do a rabbit on that. I can do pretty much anything on an open read, from rabbit to house to pup to woodpecker to anything you can think of, I can do on one open reed.
Mm-hmm. Now, what's your preferred call that you use right now? I mean, that's one thing too that I really appreciate what you do on the live feeds, is because you use combination of hand calls and e-calls, and there's always that warning, you know, pineapple, pineapple, pineapple.
I know.
Wailed away on it. So what do you like to use right now?
For hand calls? As far as hand, you talk about hand calls?
Yeah.
Predator Tactics has a hand call that's called it's their closed reed rabbit hand call, and it's really good. And then Pinoy Piper, my buddy Travis Alzai, he makes I think it's very simplistic, but the best sounding open reed hand call, period. And it's the Headhunter, and you see me blowing that all the time, especially when I do that pup distress that my boy named Pup Savage. It's real aggressive, but it sounds really good on that hand call.
Yeah, I agree. It does sound good. That's actually probably going to be my next hand call that I get is one of those. We had Travis on here a few episodes back and talked to him quite a bit about that.
Travis is a great guy.
He is. He's got some good guys hanging around with him too. But yeah, he's always real helpful, makes some really good calls, diaphragms and hand calls. Since you've had COVID, is that really screwing up your ability to use a hand call right now?
Actually, yeah, it's my lungs, man. I like I was telling you earlier, I average 20 miles a week with my pack, and I carry a lot of, I got an Everly stock pack. I put my gun, my tripod, my seat. I got a stool and a ground seat just in case. I got extra stuff. It weighs about 45 pounds, and anybody that's ever hunted with me knows that I'm a machine out there. And since having COVID, even like lungs just aren't there. And I gotta take my time, and it's really slowed me down, but which isn't a bad thing, because I wear myself thin sometimes, but blown a hand call. Yeah. It's been a little rough. So, I mean, I can still do it. It's just, it takes a lot of work now.
So
I'll get back to normal eventually.
What other states have you hunted?
Oh man. I've hunted obviously Kansas, North Dakota, South Dakota, Wyoming, Utah, Oklahoma, Arkansas, Georgia, Florida.
Really?
I've hunted quite all over the place.
And you did Georgia and Florida for coyotes?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
How was it?
Georgia was lights out. A guy that one of my followers, and he kind of hunts a lot, let me go and hunt over. I was night hunting over a cut peanut field. I didn't know what to expect. Right. I was by myself, and I was driving. I was doing some sales stuff for Predator Tactics, but I just happened to have my stuff with me, you know. And I pull up to this peanut field. As soon as I pulled up, a coyote ran in front of me. And I was driving a Honda CRV, and a coyote ran in front of me. I'm like, okay. I ended up killing 18 coyotes, you know, on this like 500-acre piece.
Wow.
They were like rats out there.
Uh-huh.
I would just blow my hand call, like do a little road, and here they came. It was a lot of fun. I'd have killed more if I had another guy with me shooting, because they were coming from all directions. But Florida was pretty tough. The population just wasn't there, you know.
Now, did you, when you were in Georgia and Florida, did you run into the other wildlife down there at all?
I saw some pigs in Florida. I didn't see any in Georgia, but we shot some pigs down in Florida. That was fun.
Yeah, pig hunting's a blast. Have you done that? Oh, man,
it's so much fun. Yeah, I do, actually. My buddies, DJ Victory in Oklahoma, and I got down in Searcy, Arkansas. I pig hunt. And my boys out in Texas, Vernon and Chris, and my buddy David Witzke, we shoot a lot of pigs down there too. It's a good time.
So the states that you've been, is there a state that you'd really like to go to yet to do some predator hunting?
Man, Kansas and Eastern Colorado.
Okay.
I've been going out to Eastern Colorado. My buddy, whose dad got me into it, he and I started going. We went on our first trip out west when we were 18. And it was nuts. We took a camper that was like a pop can on wheels. And we got actually drove 5 miles back into this guy's property and got snowed in for 3 days.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was nuts. But it's just so diverse because parts of it are flat, you know, and there's open fields that you look out there and you don't think there's nothing there. But it's there's coyotes everywhere. You know, like the other day, I just called this kid come down named Kidridge that wanted to hunt one. Then he ran the camera, and he's a big coyote hunter. And first day, and I'm like, we're going to hunt this open field. And it's wide open, man. We get there, and he's like, I'm like, I'm telling you, just watch. Called in six.
Oh, wow. Nice.
There's one little grass ditch that ran for a mile through there and six coyotes. He had his binos up. He's like, there's coyotes coming the whole wave of them. I'm like, I know. But yeah, nah. And then, you know, you get into the Flint Hills, and that's my, I love being able to see a long ways because my thing is I like to shoot long ways. You know, I take a lot of pride in my shooting. I've killed coyotes. The farthest shot I've made is 1,100 yards.
Wow, nice.
That was on a light. That was light.
What were you shooting for that shot? Was it the six?
That was with my Christensen Arms 6mm Creedmoor, the MPR.
Nice.
I shoot a 70 grain bullet, but there wasn't any wind at all.
Oh, yeah.
Perfect. And I got a steel range. You know, the biggest thing about being able to shoot a long ways is getting to know your gun. Yep. And I've got a steel range that goes out to 1,000. That I shoot at, you know, at least twice a month just to stay salty. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But I shoot a Burris RT25, which is pretty much a PRS match scope. It's got really thin crosshairs, you know, so you can kind of pinpoint, but it's got drop lines in it. And I know exactly, you know, each distance for drop lines. I shoot, you know, it'd be 20 mile an hour wind and I'll go shoot at that range just to know what my bullet's doing. You know, and back in the day, I shot a two, and I know a lot of guys will shoot a 223, but when you sit down to shoot long range with a 223, you know, with a 55 grain bullet versus a six Creedmoor with 103 at 500 yards with a 12 mile an hour crosswind, there's a big difference.
Oh, yeah.
Huge difference.
Yep.
And the reality is, if you want to be able to kill coyotes way out there, you have to shoot a heavier bullet. Yeah. I'm a six millimeter junkie.
That's one thing that I, you know, around here in Michigan, a lot of places, we don't have the opportunity for long shots. I mean, 300 yards is a long shot for most of the places I hunt.
But seeing like that, like a 223, I mean, you're good with that. You know, as long as you can put it where it needs to be, you know, you're solid.
But I try and tell people, you know, I also run a gun shop here, and guys come in all the time and they talk about scopes and they talk about, well, can I shoot this far with it? And you know, what if I use this bullet and everything? I tell them the best thing you can do is spend time on the range.
Right.
And I don't care what any book tells you, what anything else tells you. The best way to do it is to actually go to the range and prove it. You know, get to know your rifle, what it'll do, different conditions, different ranges. Then you have that confidence to make that shot.
But here's the biggest thing, not to cut you off, but the biggest thing is it's one thing to sit down on a bench with sandbags and have your gun rock solid. And ring steel out to, you know, 500 yards, but you have to practice shooting off of
field condition,
the shooting system you're using in the field, whether it's shooting sticks, a tripod, that's where the confidence comes from.
Oh yeah, I agree.
Because I mean, when I say like, I can ring steel out to 1,000, I shoot it at 1,000 on my tripod. Mm-hmm. And I'm a firm believer in shooting off a tripod.
Yep.
It's so much more steady than shooting sticks. You just have so much more stability. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah, absolutely. You know, that's the thing too, is, you know, it's kind of like, if you want to shoot and prove what your load and your gun will do off a bench, will verify the mechanics of it. But going to your point, like you said, being able to shoot it from a field condition is going to prove your ability or inability to do it.
Right. And it builds that muscle memory.
Absolutely. Yep. So when you first started, you said you went, you started off with a 17 HMR, then you went to a 223. Now you prefer a 6mm. Is there any other ones that you really like to use? I think for a while there, you're using a 6.5, weren't you?
I've got a 6.5 AR-10 that I'm going to night hunt with, shooting a 95 grain bullet that'll go 3,300.
You going to stick with your 6mm for the wolf hunt?
I don't know. I'll probably end up using the AR-10 6.5.
Okay.
To be honest, because it, I mean, I want to be able to send a, you know, if I got freaking five wolves out in front of me, I want to stay down on the gun. And that's the thing, like night hunting, the reality to that is an AR platform is where it's at. Because, you know, say you call in a triple, if you're running a bolt gun, when you pull the trigger, you got to rack. Well, you know, your head's moving and you lose your target acquisition. Then you got to get back down on the scope and find the next coyote. AR, you're just pop, the other one's moving, hit pup distress, stopping pop, you know, right. Or running shot, whatever. But I did put the thermal on the NPR 6 Creedmoor bolt gun, and I was killing coyotes out to 600 yards with it at night.
Nice.
I have some footage that'll come out before too long. That's insane. Like long range killing at night. It was awesome.
It's a different game for sure. Now,
oh, it's so, nighttime is so much easier than daytime. I mean, it's not even comparable.
So you,
and some guys would get mad at me for saying that, you know, but it's the truth. I mean, it is the truth. You can park in the road, stand behind your truck and call coyotes right to you, right in your lap.
Yep.
You know, you don't have to walk and you don't have to worry about them seeing you. It's just a whole different deal.
So that brings up a point that I wanted to ask you about, and I forgot about it until you mentioned that. And some people may get a little bit butthurt about this, but I don't care. I noticed you wear camouflage a lot. Do you feel that that's a necessity per se for daytime?
Oh, well, I don't wear camouflage a lot, to be honest with you. Okay, so I wear like the pants I got on right now, like tan, you know, whatever.
Okay.
And then I might wear a camo hoodie, or I might just wear a brown hoodie. But I build these Viper hoods.
Yeah,
that's
probably
basically a half of a ghillie top.
Yep.
That comes down here, and I started wearing that because I had a lot of spots that were super wide open. There was nowhere to hide. Mm-hmm. But I saw coyotes out there, and I would try to call, but you know, sitting there, they would see you, and they wouldn't come in. And so I told my buddy, I'm like, man, I got this idea. So I built these Viper hoods. It was a game changer. The breaking up your silhouette. I mean, I got videos of coyotes standing at 5 feet for like 10 minutes. And it just, they don't spot you.
Right.
They don't.
You know, I agree in that regard. You know, around here in the daytime, I prefer to wear some sort of camo, something to break up my outline, something like that.
Right.
So going back to your Viper hood, you said you make those?
Yeah.
Now, do you basically make it the same way you'd make a ghillie suit? Just you're using like a certain size hood for it?
Yeah, and then you got to tie it all on. It takes a while.
Just using some burlap.
There's probably 300 guys throughout the United States right now that have Viper hoods that I've built for them.
Okay.
But that's, guys started making fun of me. Whenever I started wearing them, they're like, oh, you don't need all that. You know, it's like when you kill 600 coyotes a year, then I think you can probably say something about it. But everything I have and use in the field, I have a purpose for.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I take a stool just in case the vegetation's too tall. So I can sit in the stool with my gun just like this. I'm sitting up above the vegetation. You know what I'm saying? And I can see the coyotes.
Right.
And then I have my ground seat too. That way, if there's nothing to, you know, sit by, I can sit on the ground, lower my tripod and shoot from the seated position. Yeah, I mean, the Viper hood's been a game changer. It really has. It just allows me to hunt more spots that I typically couldn't, that I'd get spotted at.
Describe what you normally take on set. I mean, you usually carry that pack that has your rifle in it. You just said you had a seat. I know you have the cell phone attachment to put the cell phone on your gun to record that way. You have your Tacticam. Is there any, you have binoculars. I'm assuming you probably have a rangefinder. What else you got?
Yeah, that's in my chest pack. I use a County 6 Predator called Minimalist Pack. which is awesome because everything's right here. You know what I mean? I've got, what else? Extra mag. I always got to have an extra mag.
This one?
And then extra batteries, my e-collar. What else? I got always carry a set of Allen wrenches because you never know when you're going to need a set of Allen wrenches, you know?
So
that pretty much.
With that being said, how far would you say on average you travel from where you park your set to where you park your truck to where you set up? Do you normally walk in quite a ways or?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Guys, I it's funny because guys get so hyped to come hunt with me. And by day two, they're just wore out.
They're whooped.
No, I'm not that the 18-year-old kid that just came and hunted with me. By day two, he was like, "Man, I knew you hunted hard, but he's like, I'm tired." He fell asleep. We left the house at 5, didn't come back till dark. We hunted all day.
Right.
And he thought he would fall asleep in the passenger seat. And I'm, you know, scouting out ground and I'd wake him up and like, "Hey, let's roll." We jump out and take off. But my average walk, probably 200 yards, but sometimes, like the other night, the last live feed I just did, I probably walked 1,500 yards.
Okay.
Because here's the thing. I am quality over quantity. I have a checklist because in my brain, it works like this. You got to, if you can check off every little box, like, okay, walking in without being spotted. You know what I mean? Right. Meaning when you go in, you don't want the wind blowing from you to where you think the coyotes are. Right. When you sit down, you want the wind either from like across your face, you know, because coyotes circle.
Right.
So if you got to cross your face, you know, they're probably going to end up downwind. So, you know, being able to see your downwind, having the sun behind you instead of right in your face. So if it's in front of you, it's shining on you and you're lit up like a diamond. If it's behind you, it's in their face and they can't see you, and then they'll shine like a diamond. Little things matter. Like if you go into a spot and there's a ditch, walk down the ditch so you're not seen. Don't walk up on top because there'd be coyotes laying up in the grass on the hillside and then I spotted you and now you just killed your chances.
Right.
Every little thing matters. Like, and I know a lot of people don't take coyote hunting as serious, but when I do something, I want to increase my odds of being successful best I can. And coyote hunting is just like, you know, it's what I do. It's my identity. So I'm always like, my brain's like a computer when I'm walking in. I'm looking at tracks, which way they're going. My biggest thing is, I'll sit on Onyx Maps for hours. Literally, I'll look at my phone at like 3 a.m. and I'm like, I got to go to sleep. Just analyzing spots. Like, where do I think the coyotes are going to be at in the morning on this property? Probably going to be out in the open field mousing. Middle of the day, they're probably going to be bedded up in this draw. You know what I mean? So I target them. I break down on that map exactly where I think they're going to be. And 90% of the time, I'm right. You know, you probably see it on live feeds. I'll sit down, I'll be like, all right, coyote's probably going to come right out of that draw, work this ditch, and I'm going to shoot him right there. Yep. And it goes down like that a lot. And sometimes, though, they just pop up out of nowhere. But more times than not, that's how it goes down.
Yep. So do you hunt how much private
being a therapist?
Go ahead.
What's that?
Go ahead.
Now, I think being a therapist and like, analyzing human behavior has really helped me become a real, you know, a better predator owner because I'm always analyzing the coyote's behavior. You know what I mean? Like why they do what they do and like, you know, how they maneuver through different terrain. And it's just, they intrigue me, you know, they're just a really cool animal.
And I think a lot of people tend to overlook that. They think they're just going to go out and call. And yeah, they'll have some success, but I think to really get success, you have to understand the animal, like what you're saying, know the property, know the animal. There's a lot of people just go out there and throw out a call and yeah, they kill some every now and then, but to be consistently decent at it, I think you have to have that knowledge, like you're saying, you know, the knowledge of the animal.
Well, yeah, I mean,
terrain works with the animal.
And the other thing is, like, what do most people who predator hunt, what do they go out and play on a e-collar?
Most of the time is blare a rabbit as loud as they possibly can.
Rabbit, okay. So, but here's the thing. You're only, if you do that, you're only trying to trigger a coyote based on one instinct.
Right.
Their feeding instinct. Right. Well, if they ain't hungry, they're not going to come.
Right.
And coyotes, you know, obviously there's their breeding instinct certain times of year. They're territorial year round. Just sometimes they're not as territorial as others. And that's why I kill more coyotes on vocals than anything. You know, they hear one howl, they're going to come investigate. So they're going to want to know what coyotes on their turf. You know, they hear pup distress, they're going to want to come investigate to see, you know, what coyote's whipping another coyote. Or,
right.
But there's just, you really, if you want to be a really good predator hunter, you have to put some work into educating yourself on how to use vocals.
Yeah.
You know, and that gets, I can get way into that too. Like, I the other day I was watching a video and a guy started out with a challenge owl. I'm like, what are you doing? Why would you do that? He just limited himself right there, just killed his odds. Yeah. Because not every coyote is aggressive. Not every coyote's an alpha or, you know, want to come into a fight. And there's a lot more submissive coyotes than there are aggressive coyotes. So when you challenge, he probably just scared away half of them, you know. And I always start my stands out typically with predator tactics, female interrogation, because it's real subtle. It's not real aggressive. It's not, you know, it's a sound you can put out there that if there's a submissive coyote, it's going to be more inviting. You know what I mean? Yep. It's like, so you go into a bar and a big dude walks in and, hey, you know, and everybody's like, oh, I don't really want to go around him. But if some guy comes, like, hey guys, you know, you want to hang out? And he's a nice guy. More people are going to be, you know, interacting with the, you know, it's kind of same thing in my mind.
So I remember on one of your live feeds, you were talking about using group howls versus a single howl, if I remember right. And you said there was a guy somewhere did a study on that about only how coyotes responded to a single versus, you know, a group howl. You remember who did that study? Or, I mean,
I don't. My buddy Joe. Okay, so I guided these guys from Minnesota or Michigan. He's going to watch this and be like, it's freaking Michigan. Anyways, one of the M states. And he's a great dude. We talk all the time. But he researches stuff. Like, he'll pay to, like, get into, like, actual, like, you know, collegiate articles about stuff. Got into this one. This guy in Arizona did this really in-depth research study on coyotes and responsiveness and to vocals and all this stuff. And he calls me up. He's like, man, I got something for you. I'm like, all right, I want to hear it, you know. And he was reading it to me, and it said that a single coyote is three times more likely to come into a single interrogation owl than a serenade. Because if you serenade, you know, that's a group of coyotes, and a submissive coyote doesn't really want to come into that.
Because
they don't want to go find its buddies that group up and then come in.
Right.
You know, so by the time it does that, you're probably gone. You know what I mean?
Yep.
But I will tell you this. I have looked back at my footage, and just by, you know, experience, anytime I play a group howl and call a single coyote in, it's an alpha. Mm-hmm. Always.
He's a dominant,
like, one. So 100% time. Yes. If I have a single come in to a group howl, it's 90, or, you know, most time an alpha. But whenever I play a serenade, I usually play a really subtle serenade, like PT mom and pup serenade. It's not real aggressive. So you're still, your odds of calling a submissive one are still pretty good. You know what I mean?
Now, would you say,
the other thing people don't understand is this is a big one right here, though, real quick. Just because you, and I say this on my live feed all the time. Okay, I haven't heard a coyote howl in 2.5 weeks. It's messing me up. I don't know why. I can't figure out why. That's one. When I die, if I make it to heaven, God's going to laugh at me, because that's the first question I'm going to ask. I'm going to be like, hey, why didn't they howl for 2.5 weeks? I got to know. I'm like, yeah. Why? But the thing is, I killed 18 coyotes in 2 days right before I got sick. And they weren't howling. But I would do a female interrogation howl, wait, invite howl, and they would show up without howling back, like groups of them. I was calling in 3 or 4 at a time. I was howling in the middle of the day with 15-mile-an-hour wind, bluebird sky, and 60 degrees, and coyotes were showing up. But they would not howl back. Mm-hmm. So just because you howl and you don't get a response does not mean they're not coming.
Yep.
But you got to be patient enough to let them come. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And that's hard, especially for me, because I have ADHD, and I want to keep pushing buttons.
Yep.
And that's why I'm so good on the live feed. It works out perfect because I'm doing 20 things at once. You right. know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm talking, I'm reading, I'm watching for coyotes, I'm pushing buttons, I'm thinking about what sound to play next. I'm panning my gun so people can see the surroundings. I'm remembering to push my Tacticam button. I'm switching the sound. I mean, it's a lot, but somehow I pull it off and it works better for me. Now, and when I'm sitting there by myself without a live feed, it seems like
it's taking forever.
It's bad. Right. 7 minutes goes by and it felt like 30.
Right.
But live feeds, you know, I just function better. I don't know.
Right. So you're using a Lucky Duck right now, aren't you, for a collar?
Yeah. Yeah. The Revolt. And I got the Super Revolt coming. Super excited about it.
I think I want to get one of those coming sometime too. I've been talking to Rick about them, but those sounds like
Rick, dude, Rick, man, Rick and Jeff Nimitz, those guys are just like, Oh shoot.
Oh, you're there.
I'm back. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
I had a phone call. But yeah, Rick and Jeff Nimitz are two guys I have a lot of respect for. They really are genuinely great dudes.
I agree. They've always treated me really well too.
And Rick, man, he takes care of people. If anybody ever has an issue with anything, he takes care of it. And you know, I'm glad to be part of, you know, I'm not like on their pro staff or anything, but you know, I proudly use Lucky Duck because I work with people that are good people.
And the product works.
Yeah, and I don't use junk. In no way, shape, or form would I ever use something that I would not want to spend my money on.
Right.
And yes, at the end of the day, you know, I make money because I'm a marketing director. But you don't ever hear me push anything down anybody's throat.
Right.
Ever. I don't believe in it. Yep. I just don't. My grandpa told me, don't talk about it, be about it.
Yep.
And my ideal is, if I use something and just absolutely make it badass, then I don't have to talk about how good it is. I just showed everybody how good it is. And then they get to make their own decision if they want to buy it or not.
Yep. Proof's in the pudding.
And that's why Predator Tactics has been sold out of tripods for God knows how long.
Right. Now, do you hand load for your guns?
Man, I just started shooting a factory load last year. I hand loaded ever since I was 15.
Mm-hmm. What's the factory load that you're using?
Well, I was shooting Nosler 70 grain Varmageddons, and now I'm shooting a Hornady 100. I shoot both Nosler and Hornady now. I still shoot a 70. My little boy shoots a 70 out of the NPR, and I shoot a 103 out of the brace build.
That's the ELD?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it freaking take that thing. I'm suppressed, so that bullet. Huh?
It took you long enough to go suppressed.
Yeah, I'm gonna talk about that. Man, that was excruciating.
How long was your wait time? About a year?
Not that long.
Oh, really?
No, I did a form one with JK Armament. Okay. It only took 90 days, but as long as 90 days of my life.
Right. You feel that
it's a game changer though. It really is.
I was gonna say, you feel that made a big difference?
You go back and watch the live feed where I killed 5 coyotes in one stand. Mm-hmm. 2 dogs show up at 30 yards to my right. And I literally, they're so far right, I can't turn and shoot them. So I shot them both left-handed. And the first coyote I shoot was the closest to the grass because he would have got away quicker. So I level him and the other one just stood there. And I shot him, and then I ended up calling in 3 more and killing him. If I wasn't suppressed, that would not have happened. It would not have happened.
agree.
It's a game changer. I don't even like hunting with people who aren't suppressed anymore.
You know, you hear that a lot from people that go suppressed. I mean, I'm the same. Mm-hmm. I've had my eardrums blown out a couple times by my partners, but you know, once I got my suppressor, it's like, I don't even like hunting without a suppressor anymore.
Nope. It's sickening. won't ever do it again.
Right.
Won't ever do it again.
Yep. Now you guide for people too, right?
Oh yeah.
So
like pretty much the entire month of January, I'm guiding. And that, man, that's experience right there.
I was going to say, do you have any good stories from guiding?
I've got a lot of good stories. Okay. First off, the most important part of a coyote hunt, like a coyote stand, is composure. That's the most important thing. The most composed hunter I've ever hunted with, no lie, is my little boy. He's more composed than me. The kid, but he's been raised. I mean, that's all he's known. And he's an unbelievable shot. At 6 years old, he's ringing steel at 680 yards.
He's impressive, to say the least.
The kid shot at 22 coyotes and killed 20.
Nice.
And the only reason he missed one was because of me, because I stopped. Looking back at tap cam footage, he would have smoked it running at him, and I tried to stop it and turn. But anyways, the kid, composure is everything. And these guys that come and hunt with me, you know, they're not used to seeing three, four, five, six coyotes running at them. And I can literally hear these guys breathe. And I'm like, hey, take a deep breath. It'll be, I'll tell you when to shoot. So here's a good story. So I got this guy that coyote hunts, and not a lot of guys hunt as hard as I do, but he's killed some coyotes. We're on one of my best stands, and I got four coyotes coming from the right. They're about 800 yards coming, and we got a single coming from 200 yards. And I said, don't shoot the single. Don't shoot. The four will show up, and we will shoot them all. Take the John Wick approach. I'm going to kill them all. He's like, okay. Man, that single shows up, and it's standing on the hill like 100 yards. And I'm like, don't shoot. I hear a safety flip off. I'm like, no, don't. I literally about reached over and put the safety back on, because the other ones are like down in the ditch, 300 yards. They're about to show up. Boom. He misses. The coyote runs. I look up. The four coyotes are running off. And I'm just like, I'm just not saying nothing.
You're fired.
I look over at him, and he's like, he's got his head down. I'm sorry. He's like, I just couldn't take it. And so the story's not over. I'm like, it's okay. It's all right. We'll call more in. He's like, I'll listen to you next time. I'll listen. So we get up, and if he's watching this, he's going to freak out. But we get up, and I got my gun in my pack. Well, I look up, and there's another dog. And it's like 400 yards standing up on this ridge. And it's just kind of looking at us. He's like, kill it. I'm like, wow, gosh, dang it. Sorry, I keep getting phone calls. Right. But he's like, kill it. And so I lay down, and it was a 22-250 Remington with it was a nice gun. I said, what is it dialed in at? He's like, dead on 200 yards. And I knew the coyote was 400 yards. And I dropped down, throw the gun in my pack, shot prone, and I smoked it. And this dude picks me up, and he's like bear hugging me, and he's so excited. He says, he's bigger, just shot a coyote with my rifle. It was nuts. But then the story gets even better. So we walk up to this coyote, and I always keep my pistol in my chest pack right here. Mm-hmm. As we're walking up to it, another one gets up out of the brush and takes off running. And I drew my pistol, and I shot it running.
Nice.
It was not. I'm just like, this was the craziest stand ever. But I've actually had crazier since then. But yeah, that was a pretty good experience. And then the very next stand, all the guy talked about was wanting to kill a bobcat. And I called a bobcat, and it's standing right next to me. But I know his composure wasn't that great, so I didn't say nothing. And I turned the decoy on, and it ran right in front of us, and he dropped it. And then he freaking picks me up in his bear hug. I'm like, put me down, dude. Most guys, when they meet me, they're like, I thought you'd be taller. Like, no, I'm not. I'm short.
What can you guys take out there for bobcats? Like, how is there a tag limit on them?
I can shoot as many as you want.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice. Here we go. Yeah. One a year.
I'm just not patient enough to, you know. Usually they call it bobcats because it's right there. Yeah. But the other night on that live feed stand, a lot of guys don't. They're like, if you howl, you're not going to kill a bobcat. I literally listened to a podcast. I'm not going to say names, but the guy's like, no, if you howl, then bobcats won't come in and blah, blah, blah. On a live feed the other night, I howled and howled and howled and couldn't figure out why. There was coyotes out there and they wouldn't come out. There's a dead cow. That's where they were going. They didn't care about me. But I ended up going back to rabbit at 45 minutes into the stand and called the cat in and shot at 30 yards.
Nice.
It's pretty cool.
Have you ever called one in on pup distress?
Actually, I have. I had one because they're curious. You know what I mean? I had one show up on a ridge at like 150 yards and I shot it, you know. I remember watching Steve Kreiner back when he was with Hunter Specialties. There was an episode where he killed a coyote. On pup distress, looks up and there's a bobcat and you killed it.
One of the first bobcats I called in came to pup distress. I couldn't believe
really?
It. He came all the way up to the speaker and sniffed it. And then
that's sat awesome.
Down and looked around. I'm like, holy cow, that's crazy.
Yeah. I've had some crazy stuff happen on coyote hunts, man. Like stuff people wouldn't even believe.
When you're out there in
the field. That's the fun of it. You never know what's going to happen.
Right. And when you're in the field enough, I mean, sooner or later, you're going to see a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Do you run into many snakes out there? Is that a problem for you when you're going out?
Eastern Colorado, we went out hunting, shooting prairie dogs. And, of course, you know, I got to make some coyote sands. I don't care. You've seen me kill coyotes in 100 degrees.
Yeah.
I sat down on a whole pile of baby rattlesnakes. Yeah, it got real sketchy real fast.
I was going to say, how'd that work out?
I got away without being bit, but I've actually been bit by a fox and two coyotes.
I remember you getting bit by the coyote. I remember hearing about the fox.
Yeah, that's on film too, actually.
Really?
I just said a lot of bad words, so we can't post it. I still got the scar on my finger right here.
Really?
Little sucker grabbed my finger. I thought he was dead. He grabbed my finger and shook the crap out of my – yeah.
Was it a gray or a red?
It was a gray fox.
I was going to say, grays are aggressive little suckers.
Yeah, they're mean. They're not very nice.
I've had a couple of them try and get a piece of me that were in the traps.
Oh, yeah. They're crazy. They'll run right – you'll be calling. They'll run right into your feet.
Oh, yeah. I think the first gray I ever called, I actually called a gray and a bobcat on the same set. And I was in a patch of woods, and I had the Mojo critter decoy out there with my collar. And yeah. I was expecting coyotes. Pretty soon I see something running and here comes this bobcat. He comes charging in, does the same thing most bobcats do. He came in, got opposite of the decoy and sat down and just looked at it. Well, obviously I couldn't shoot it because it wasn't in season. So eventually he turned and walked away. Kept the collar going, see something else coming, hauling ass in. And then look, it was this gray fox. He came in and tackled that Mojo decoy, like rolled over with it. Got up, boom, was gone just as fast as he came in. I'm like, cow. And you know, I usually see, you know, a couple of gray fox a year, but we see more reds than we do grays. But we've gotten one trapping this year. I think we trapped two last year. Do you do any trapping at all?
No. Takes too much work. I make them come to me.
I really only trap where I can't hunt. You know, if it's private property and there's houses around and all that, and they want help with it, I'll trap it. But my passion is calling. I do trapping, but I'd rather call them any day than trap them.
Yep.
What's that?
Just fooling a mature coyote is just gratifying. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I've killed coyotes that didn't even have any teeth in their mouth. They were so old. You know, and it's crazy. It's like, well, how did he even eat, you know? But they're so adaptive.
Yeah, and that's a trophy right there. You know, you get the old
stuff. That's like killing a 200-inch deer for me,
yep.
You know?
I agree.
I killed a 51-pound coyote the other day.
Really?
And that was the biggest coyote I've ever killed.
That's a tank.
Yeah, it's on film, too.
I think the biggest one I've seen around here, when we weighed it in the field, it was just over 50 pounds. And when we checked it in for weighing at the, for the tournament, it was like 49 and change, like just shy of 50 pounds. That's the biggest
That's one. That's a monster, though.
When yeah, we walked
this coyote looked like a wolf coming in. It was unbelievable.
Well, did it come in solo?
No, it came in with another dog that was probably just as big, to be honest, but it got away. I'm going to go back after it and probably give it a week to go back. But I don't know. It's just crazy. I don't know what about that area, you know, but I've shot a lot of really big coyotes, but I think it's because there's so many cows, you know what I mean? They're eating a lot of beef and protein.
Mm-hmm. So here's a couple of questions on tactics that, you know, people ask about a lot. I'd like to get your input on it. And you kind of answered one already, but let's say you call in multiples. How do you decide which one you're going to shoot? You always shoot the closest or the furthest one first?
Yeah. I mean, well, it also depends on if I have somebody else with me.
Okay.
But I kill the farthest one first. But, you know, obviously a lot of guys, they just want to make sure they shoot one. You know what I mean? So they'll shoot the close one first. But obviously, if you shoot the farthest one first, you got a lot more time to shoot, you know,
right,
the other ones. It just really depends. Like, if I call, say I call in three and there's a ditch to my left and there's one really close, that ditch is their escape route, probably, you know. If I'll shoot the one close to the ditch and the other one's got to run through the wide open, so they're kind of screwed, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I got more opportunity to shoot them. But this is how – and then if I got a partner with me, you know, we'll communicate, and they always shoot the one farthest on their side. Mm-hmm. So we're not shooting the same coyote.
Do you use shotgun very much?
No, I should. I just
– I've seen you shoot them with a pistol, so I know you could have got them with a shotgun.
Yeah, no, I can shoot them with a shotgun. I just – I don't know, man. I like shooting them way out there. It's just my thing. But it – there – I carry so much stuff. I don't want to carry a shotgun too, you know?
Right. Yeah. Pistols.
But what I am going to do is I'm going to put a red dot on the side of my rifle.
Mm-hmm.
For the, because my scope's a five. What is it? It's a 5 to 20, a 5 to 25. So if you got a coyote 15 yards, 20 yards, you know, five power is kind of a lot, you know what I mean? So, but if I had a red dot mounted to the side of, you know, my rifle, I can turn that bad boy sideways and just smoke it.
Right. So another question on tactics. How often will you hunt the same property? Like, you wait a certain amount.
And that's probably the most asked question I get.
Yeah.
I get asked that question a lot.
Oh, we lost audio for a second here.
The average hunter might have, like, so you got 500 acres. Okay. If I hunt a spot and I call a coyote at it, I will give it some, like, you probably make, on 500 acres, you probably make four solid stands. But you got to hunt with the wind right. You know what I mean?
Yep.
If I hunt a spot and there's a lot of coyotes there, I might give it, you know, a week or two, and then go back and hunt it. If I hunted it in the morning, I'll hunt it in the evening. I'll sit in a different spot. But the biggest thing is using different sounds.
Yep.
You don't want to use the same sounds over and over at the same spots. That's the fastest way to educate coyotes. Because say you call one in and you kill it. Well, just because, you know, you shot that one doesn't mean there wasn't another one you didn't see that was listening to everything, saw you shoot, you might've got up and spooked it off. Now, you know, you just kind of educated that dog a little bit. So when they hear that same sound, I mean, they're a lot smarter than people think.
Right.
They're very adaptive.
So let's say, what would you say is the smallest piece of property you hunt?
I got this spot that's only like 10 acres. And the farmer calls me up and he's like, you need to come coyote hunt. There's a bunch of them. It's summertime. And I show up and he's just got this 10 acres, right? And he said, there's some hay bales right behind my house. And he wasn't lying. They were like 100 yards behind his back door. If you sit by those hay bales right at dark, you'll kill coyotes. My buddy was filming it. We go back there. I'm like, we're not going to kill nothing here. Right next to his house. I'm like, man, but we'll try it. I killed a quad. I shot four of them. And it kind of woke me up to the fact that, you know, if the farmers aren't shooting at them, they're comfortable. You know what I mean? But, yeah, it's not a very big spot. And I've gone back and probably killed I've called a coyote every single time. Nice. 100 yards from his back door. It's crazy. So they're just there.
Right. So here's another question. And let's say you have a piece that's say, you know, 100 acres or what have you. Would you make multiple stands on that? And if you do, do you use a lower volume so you're not blowing out other parts of the property?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, I got a property that I do that on a lot, actually. It's kind of a rectangular shaped property, and we'll hunt it with the wind blowing straight in our face, and we'll start on one end. And it's a mile long, but we'll make stands every, like, 600 yards probably. But I'll play, like, there's a lot of brush down in this ditch, and I'll just play, like, real soft baby cottontail and work down it. Mm-hmm. And actually, I'm peace doing that. I made three stands and killed three doubles.
Nice.
It was nuts.
That's pretty wild. That's kind of what I try and do, too. If I have a smaller piece, but I, you know, want to hunt different areas, you know, as long as the wind's right and all that, I'll just say, yeah, we can make multiple stands. Right. I'm just going to play the volume lower, and we'll switch up sounds every set. And, you know, I was just kind of curious as to what your take was on that. So what's...
But, you know, like, a lot of guys, like, I got, like, that place I just told you, it's wide open. There's nothing. But there's one little pond dam. But it, literally, it's just grass. You can see from one corner of it to the other. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And those are the spots, those wide open spots are the ones you want to hit right as the sun's coming up, because the coyotes are going to be more vulnerable to come in. You know, middle of the day, you're probably not going to call a coyote there. They're going to be laid up somewhere and a little bit leery, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But at first light, you know, they're a lot more vulnerable, and your odds of calling. In the mornings, I hit my most wide open spots till about 8:30. And then I, you know, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, I'll start hunting toward the cover a little more. And by midday, I'm hunting real close to the cover, if not in it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. How much snow do you get?
But if it's cold, if it's really cold and overcast, you know, and the coyotes are just hungry, you know, they might be out in the wide open all day long. Or if it's really cold and then the sun comes out middle of the day, the coyotes would be laying up in the open on, you know, hay bales on top of hills trying to catch sun. So, but typically, you know, middle of the day, they're going to go back to cover.
How much snow do you get out there? Any?
Not a lot. Okay. Not a lot. To be honest with you, I don't like snow.
I don't snow like it when it gets deep like we have it up here.
Yeah. I mean, I'm okay with 2 inches of soft snow, but when you get 4 and you go to walk and it's just crunching the whole way. Nah,
you know, not about it. That's a funny story. We hunted a tournament, I think it was 2 years ago, and we had had conditions. Tournaments always, you know, during prime time, like January. And we went out to a spot where it was a cornfield and it had snowed and then melted and then froze again. So it's almost like walking on glass. And we're walking out there. Just,
right.
There's no way around it. You're just making a bunch of noise. We're like, you know, we're in a tournament. Let's hunt it anyway. And we ended up calling in. I think we called in a pair and killed them both. But it's like, I couldn't believe we called them in with all the noise we made.
Yeah, it can be real noisy. I'm just not a fan of snow.
Well, stay away from Michigan.
I don't like being wet either. I'm like a cat. What's that?
I said, stay away from Michigan this time of year then.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I hunted in some snow. Like, me and my buddy got in the room at 4 o'clock in the morning. It was 5 degrees out. Wind chill was -15, and there was a foot of snow. And we hunted all day and didn't come back till dark. And I hurt so bad, my bones felt like, I mean, I was close to hypothermia. Oh, wow. It was bad. And I'm a trooper, but I was ready to be done.
There's, we had one wolf season up here. I think it was probably about 6 years ago now. And in our upper peninsula was where they had it. They didn't have a wolf season down here because we don't have any wolves down here, so they say. And we went up there and hunted. And I want to say there was 4 feet 6 feet of snow on the ground. And
we
tracked one pack of five wolves for 4 miles on snowshoes.
Yeah,
never caught up to them. And I'm probably about your size. The guy I was hunting with, his legs were about as long as I am tall. And I tell you what, it kicked my butt trying to keep up with him, especially the fact we never caught up to those wolves. I mean, that kicked my butt. But
I'm sure.
You know, when you have that few of opportunities, you work for it, you know, you try and do the best you can. So it's pretty wild. So what's next?
Yep.
What's next for you?
What's next for me?
Yeah. What's something big you got planning other than the wolf hunt?
I can't tell all my secrets. I got some big stuff planned.
Oh, okay.
Oh, man, I'll tell you what. I've never been one to settle with anything. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I set a goal, and when I get there, I got a bigger goal. And then I get there, I got a bigger goal. And my thing is, like, well, if you're not trying to achieve your optimal, like, level, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, what are you doing?
You always try to do more and better.
Right. And that goes back to when I was 13 and I looked at my buddy and I told him I was going to kill coyotes for a living. And he laughed at me. And I sitting in college, I'm like, this is just going to get – I was telling people that I was in class, this is going to get me by until I can figure out how I'm going to kill coyotes for a living. And they laugh at me. Nice. But, I'll never say that I'm the best predator hunter. And, you know, I don't care to be honest. That's not the point of what I do. I'm always going to be that kid that wants to learn. And with that being said, for whatever reason, there are not a lot of guys out there that teach and educate other hunters how to call coyotes. I don't get it. It blows my mind because it's like, this is something. It's not a pissing contest. It's not. Maybe it is for other people, but it's not for me.
Right.
I get more gratification out of getting messages from guys like, hey man, I did that sequence you did on your live feed and I took my little boy out and I shot my first coyote. He saw it and it was the best moment of my life. Or I shot my first double, my heart about beat out of my chest. And, you know, I used Bad Brother that, you know, and did what you said. Or, you know, like, man, and some of these guys that come and hunt with me, it still cracks me up because it's like they're meeting Elvis or something. And I'm like, man, I just hunt coyotes, man. You know, like, I'm just a guy and I'll hunt with anybody. And because it's all an experience and that's what it's about. Like, I can look back and at the end of the day, I've hunted with some awesome people, man. And the crazy thing is I have a very small circle, very, very small circle. To be honest with you, my two best friends, they don't even live here. One lives out in Western Kansas and one lives in Central Kansas. My other one lives, you know, I'm a lone ranger, but some of the closest relationships I have are with people that watch my live feeds that I talk to every day. And they've sent both stuff. They've sent me stuff, you know, like I got these canvases on the wall of me and Bo that my followers have sent. You know what I mean? It's just, it's the coolest stuff ever, man. And it's like, every time I go on one of these live feeds, I get out of the truck. It's like, I'm going to the Super Bowl. You know what I mean? You put that, I put that Viber hood on and it's like nothing else. It's like my, nothing matters but that, you know, it's like, I'm on a mission and I'm going to put on a show for these guys and teach them and show them something awesome. You know what I mean? Like, I owe it to them, you know, it's just cool. And I don't know where it's all going. And a lot of guys are like, man, I can't believe you ain't made it big time. You know, like Michael Waddell status, like, I don't know. But, and it's like, what more do I got to do to go big time at this point? But the reality is I get to wake up every day hunting coyotes, you know?
Doing what you love.
And after I was laying in that bed in the hospital, I went from hunting my tail off, killing 18 coyotes, 2 days later, laying in a hospital bed, maybe going to die. And dude, that right there, I remember laying there and I thought that when I get out of here, these coyote hunts are going to mean so much more. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, it's just, and you know, I'm just grateful. I get to wake up every day and do something I love. Now, I did work my ass off for it. And I continue to work my butt off for it. But I got a lot of big things coming. And live feeds are cool. They're awesome. You know, filming's cool and awesome. But I'm always trying to elevate and level up somehow. And it's about to happen big time.
Look forward to it. You know, going back to what you're
talking about. Me too, man.
Going back to what you're talking to a minute ago about people that don't want to give up their secrets. You know, I was lucky enough that I had a mentor when I first got into it that helped me. You know, he taught me a lot on how to set up, how to call. He helped me with trapping, everything else. And since then, you know, there's been some people that I've asked for advice and all they say is, well, just go out and try it for yourself. And I'm like, to me, my viewpoint is I'd rather help someone be successful than right. have them go out and not have any luck, make all the coyotes in the area smarter. I'd rather give them some tools that they can use, be successful, kill the coyotes they're after, than not be. I mean, I remember when this guy helped me out, even though he helped me, I still had a long learning curve. Back when I started, there wasn't a whole lot of social media. I mean, I was reading magazines.
Right.
I was looking at books. So the learning curve for me was a lot longer until I had a guy that took me under his wing and helped me out. And I guess that's kind of stuck with me too. When people ask me stuff, I try and help them with my experience, what's worked for me, give them that. And like you said, it's paid off. I mean, I have guys send me messages. Hey, I tried that sequence you're talking about, killed my first solo triple. And I'm like, man, that's awesome. Yep. That's badass. And it's like you said, it's almost more satisfying than shooting them yourself sometimes.
Oh, for sure. And this is going to burn a lot of butts, but here's the reality, in my opinion. If you're in the hunting industry and you're not willing to help educate other hunters so they can enjoy it in fear of them stealing your secrets, you're insecure. And that's one thing I'm not at all. I never will be. Yeah. I don't have an insecure bone in my body, but my say I teach people my tactics and all the coyotes get educated and it's harder to use my tactics. Well, if I'm as badass as I think I am, I'm going to adapt and I'm going to figure out how to do better.
Exactly.
If I'm fearful that people are going to steal my secrets and I don't know, it's going to make it harder to kill coyotes. No. This is not how I work. So, you got to better yourself. I think it's kind of selfish if you're not willing to help other people enjoy the sport. Like I have an opportunity to be able to reach out to a lot of people, man.
Yep.
And why, if I'm not trying to help people enjoy it, you know, and I'm just out there killing coyotes, basically that would be like me saying, oh, look at me, I'm really good at this.
Yep.
But I'm not going to help anybody else be good at it.
Right.
That's selfish.
I agree.
You know, to me, that's selfish. So, and I don't agree with that.
So speaking of which,
there are very few people that, you know, I really have a lot of respect for in the predator hunting industry, you know. And don't get me wrong, there's some guys out there that are genuinely just great dudes, man. Great dudes like Rick and Jeff and John Collins, dude. John's awesome. And Travis. I mean, there's some great guys out there. And, but I'll never understand it. You know, I'll never understand why some guys just don't care enough about the people that allow them to do it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
Cause without those guys that watch and follow, like I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing.
Right.
And it's still surreal that I get to do this every day, but I'm very grateful for every single person that watches my hunts and my live feeds.
So going back to that earlier point, so would you say from when you've really started, especially doing the live feeds and stuff, have you noticed an increase in the amount of predator hunters in your area?
Yeah, I have. And it, you know, yeah, there's, you know, I'll have farmers call me and they'll be like, hey, you know, this guy wants to coyote hunt. I told him you're a coyote hunter. Or, you know, some guys give other guys permission to hunt too.
Yeah.
It is what it is, you know. Right. I'm not mad about it, whatever. And sometimes I'll hook up with those guys and be like, hey, let's go kill coyotes together. You know what I mean? But yeah, man, I don't think people really understand how big predator hunting is.
And it keeps growing.
Especially from a marketing standpoint. Because think about this. What hunting sport probably sells the most guns? Not deer hunting.
No, probably water.
90% of deer hunters use the same gun they're confident in that maybe their grandpa killed the deer with. Mm-hmm. But a predator hunter, we want to... Every year we're wanting something different. New caliber comes out.
Right.
We got to have an AR for nighttime. Yeah. Oh, this 223 ain't cutting it no more. I want an AR-10.
Right.
Oh, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, right.
And I think these gun companies are starting to catch on. And, you know, and I am mind blown that Realtree has not came out with a predator hunting specific camo pattern.
Right.
Or a line of camo. I'm just like mind blown.
Yeah.
And man, Bill, if you're watching this, give me a call. I already got it figured out. But I mean, you watch within the next few years, I'm telling you. And the other thing is, most deer hunters turn into a predator hunter after deer season.
Right.
Even if it's going out for one weekend to predator hunt, they still got to have a call.
Yep.
They still got to have a shooting system. You know what I'm saying?
Yep. And I would add on to that I think a lot of your diehard predator hunters are gear junkies.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Like my buddy David Witzke, dude's killed 5 200-inch deer with his bow in his life. And he is a bad mamma jamma with a rifle. You know, it's funny because when I started predator hunting with him, he was shooting a 300 blackout. Now the guy's got like 4.6 Creedmoor AR-10, best night vision. And I don't know that I've ever seen him miss a coyote. Like, he leveled up real quick, but that I roll with killers and he's definitely a killer. But yeah, I mean, it's funny because guys will come hunt with me. And by the time they leave, they want a Viper hood. They're ordering one of these cans. They're getting a tripod, you know?
Yep.
I would like to know just how many tripods and, you know, lucky ducks and all that stuff I've sold, you know?
Well, that's, you know, you see, and two, every now and then you're seeing companies that are getting more and more into it. Like I seen a post today where Leopold now has a gun tripod set up. I never knew they had that before.
Yeah.
And you see more and more companies, you know, as the sport evolves, gets more popular, people get into it, more and more companies are jumping on, you know, coming out with their products for that line. I dare say it's one of the fastest growing hunting industries out there.
Oh, 100%. 100%. Yeah, it definitely is. I'm planning for it. Trust me.
Right. And the biggest sad part of it right now is the fur prices are in the tank. You know, I mean, you know,
if I lived in like Utah where there's like a $50 bounty per coyote, I'd already made $40,000 extra.
Are you ready to move yet?
Oh, man. I don't even want to talk about it.
Do you know if there's any other states out there? Because I thought Colorado or parts of Colorado, didn't they have a bounty too?
I don't think so. No. I think Wyoming.
Maybe it's Wyoming then. Because I remember Al Morris saying there's another $50 coyote a couple times.
And I think that way. Probably Wyoming or Utah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be fun to go out there and try that sometime. I've only really predator hunted out west seriously when we're out there with buck wells, and we didn't do a lot because we're focused on antelope and mule deer, but I would love to spend more time out there just for predators.
Man, that open country is my home away from home.
It's beautiful.
I love it. Oh my gosh. Coyotes come for miles.
Yep.
I mean, miles. I called 12 coyotes in one stand.
Really?
On public ground in Colorado.
Really?
And that was amazing. Oh yeah. It was amazing.
That's pretty
wild. Yeah, the public ground just as good as the private out there. You can get way back in some places.
Well, and there's a whole lot more of it, too.
Oh, yeah. Hundreds and thousands of acres out there.
Mm-hmm.
So nuts.
I think I meant to ask you this before, but how much would you say you hunt private land versus public land where you're at now?
Where I'm at now, I barely hunt any private or public. I mean,
okay.
But when I go out west, I hunt a lot of public.
Oh yeah.
I probably hunt more public than I do private out west.
Now in Missouri, is there even very much public land?
Not really.
Kind of like Texas. It's almost all private.
When you get the farther west you get, the more public land there is.
Okay.
Yeah. There's a lot of opportunity in western Kansas and eastern Colorado, you know, all through Colorado really, but there's a lot of opportunity out there for, you know, anybody to go kill coyotes. I've coyote hunted on some of the same ground that Les Johnson's coyote hunted on over in eastern Colorado. Like, I've literally watched a video and be like, I know that spot.
He's on my spot.
Yeah. I mean, it, you know, what a, we both killed coyotes there, so it's no big, you know, whatever.
Have you ever hunted with him?
No, I haven't. I haven't.
So I know you've hunted
with,
I know you've hunted with Steve. Who else have
really,
you hunted?
Really, about it.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think, nobody likes me, I guess. I mean,
I've been trying now for 2 years to get down and hunt with John Collins, and I'm hoping to make it in 2020.
And he's such a good guy. Isn't John just like
down to earth?
Never forget it. I'm a SHOT Show with Nikon, like how many ever years ago. And out of nowhere I hear, oh my gosh, it's Heath Baker. And turn around, and old John Collins is standing there, man. And yeah, John's a good dude. You can just tell he's genuine.
You going to SHOT Show this next one?
No, I'll never go back to SHOT Show.
No, okay. I was hoping
not about it. Okay, I say that. I'm never gonna say never, but I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I just posted a freaking. This is funny. Nobody's probably gonna know this. I just posted on the PT page a highlight kill reel. Mm-hmm. A tactical one. It's like 5.5 minutes long. I made it on my phone sitting in the truck. I was an hour early to pick up my son for school, and that's what I did on my phone. So you go watch it. I bet it'll get over 1 million views. And I did it waiting in line to pick up my son. I have like 400 and something kill shots from my Tacticam.
Nice.
It's the coolest thing ever. I've always said from day one, man, if I can film through my scope, because I don't always have a camera guy. Well, then Tacticam came out with this FTS, and man, I got so much cool stuff. It's so awesome.
It's a pretty cool addition that you can do that like that. Now, does that get in the way at all of you getting up to the scope at all?
No. I mean, it decreases your like field of view a little bit.
Okay.
But I feel weird shooting without it now. I'm so used to it, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And if I shoot a coyote and I forget to hit the button, I'm like, oh, there's like a waste. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But you learn. The cool thing is you learn so much being able to watch it back.
Oh, yeah.
Like exactly where you held. Because there's been times I miss and I'm like, how did I miss? I was right on him. Then but watching it back, I pulled just a hair right the last second. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
And there's been times that I'll shoot a coyote and I'll watch it back. And there was another one standing right behind it. I never saw him. You know what I mean?
Yep.
It's so awesome. And then the best part is whenever my son is hunting and I'm recording, because you can actually Bluetooth it to your phone. And that's how I got bow shooting long range. Okay. I Bluetoothed it to my phone and I said, okay, buddy, you see this line right here? That's 400 yards. Ting, you know, and then watching back exactly where he holds is so impressive. I mean, the kid, you couldn't move the crosshairs an inch, but we're talking about a kid that I would have coyote pictures that I printed off, turn different directions, face and broadside quartered. And I would have a freaking laser pointer showing him exactly where to, I mean, when he was four, and it paid off because the kid's a bad dude. That's why they call him Bo Savage.
Yep.
He is a sap. He's going to be 10 times the coyote hunter that I am. And that's scary. That is scary.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll take up the rest of your evening. I know you plan on getting up early in the morning, so I'd like to thank you for joining me.
Yeah, man, it's been awesome. I hope it didn't jabber too much.
No, it's great. Maybe we can do it again another sometime.
Oh, yeah. And, yep, just get a hold of me and we'll get after it.
It'd be cool one of these days if we could hook up and hunt together, either out there or over here, whatever.
Man, you're welcome. Anytime you want to come down, you just give me a heads up and we'll get out there.
That'd be awesome. We'll have to work on that.
Yeah, right. I appreciate the invite, man.
Well, thank you very much. And appreciate it, and good luck in the field, and we'll talk to you again soon.
All right, sounds good. Thanks.